Last week, I must have given you the wrong scripture because people were spinning around trying to find where I was located. That didn't register with me until Linda made mention of it. So I'll tell you where it was in case you didn't find it. It was the fourth chapter of John's account of the gospel. I don't know what I said. But it was the fourth chapter of John's account of the gospel. And I'm going to start with that again today. I want to use it really just for a stepping off place to what I'm going to speak about today. And those of you that were here and those of you familiar with fourth chapter of John, this was about the woman at the well. And I'm not going to recount all that story, but I'm going to give you just a little bit of what we mentioned. I wasn't talking so much about just really what happened to her, but what happened after what happened to her. In that she had a testimony that she went and gave to the townspeople after she had had this experience with Jesus. And we find in the last verses that I read last week, in the 39th verse, says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, 'He told me all things ever I did.' So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him, and they that he would tarry with them and abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" Now, part of what I spoke about last week was the results that came from her testimony. And I'm talking about the power of your testimony and what a testimony will do. And there's three outcomes that can come from giving your testimony. One is that people will immediately believe. That's what some of them immediately believe. Number two was that some people would become curious enough to want more information, and they wanted to go see this man themselves. And so they went to Jesus. And in this day, they can't go physically to him to see him eyeball to eyeball. But they can come and hear the preacher, or they can go hear other people's testimonies. They can get more information that will work on their heart and get them to the point of believing also. And then there's some that didn't believe it at all. They didn't believe her. They didn't believe him. Some didn't even want to go hear him. And so there's some that didn't believe. And that's the results that can come from your testimony. Is that some will believe immediately, some will get curious and want more information and believe later, and some just won't believe at all. So that's the outcome that comes from our testimony. And that's what I was talking about, is the power of our testimony. And I referred to at least four different instances about people that heard the testimony of Jesus and came to him and got saved. Well, today I'm going to take that from that point and talk about the testimony itself, of really what it is that we testify to people about. Now, just as Brother Ian said, he testified of something that happened this past week and how the Lord helped him through that. And we have those experiences after that we're saved. There are many times that little milestones come along that God helps us and gets us through difficult times and circumstances that we have to deal with. But really what our spiritual testimony is the testimony that we have when we tell what the Lord has done for us in our salvation experience. Now, most of you are familiar with this website that many of us have our testimonies on. I found the Salvation Experience website. It's a website of people telling about what the Lord did for them. But something that is important in how we tell what the Lord did for us is telling about when it happened in our lives and what the circumstances of our lives are. And we call that being having a time and place in life. We sing the song Andrew Pace wrote back in the 1940s. "I can tell you now the time, I can take you to the place where the Lord saved me by the wonderful grace." And we have those kind of testimonies that we have a time in life and we have a place in life where the Lord spoke peace to our soul. Now, that doesn't mean that we know the calendar date or we know the exact moment of the time continuum that it occurred, but we know the time in our life It might have been when we was young. It might have been at a particular age. It might have been at some time that we can identify a date. I was saved on July the 3rd, 1961. I remember the date because it was the day before July the 4th. And it was embedded in my heart. And so I knew that time. And I knew the date because I could easily figure out the time and just go back. And it was the second revival that we was in the new building at Mount Tabor. And so I have ways of pinpointing the time that it occurred in my life. And I knew about what time of night it was. I don't know exact time, but it was somewhere between 8:30 and 9 o'clock. Because it was at the end portion of a revival service. I know the place that it took place because of where I was sitting, which was, if you go there, and that's 3 seats back in the house on this side of the aisle. Then it was 4 seats back, but they've removed one of the front seats to make more altar room now. But then it was 4 seats back, and today if you went there, it's 3 seats back. So I know the place I was sitting. And I have that in my heart because of the experience that it was so important. It was such a dramatic change from the condition that I felt in, being separated from God, being bound for hell, and in my being, I could just see I was one breath away from stepping off into that place called hell. I was 13 years old and hadn't done all that much bad, I don't guess, as far as we think of good and bad things. But the fact is, I was lost because that I was of the lineage of Adam. And all of Adam's lineage has the characteristic of being conceived in sin. So that we have sin within us. And it wasn't a matter of what we did wrong, but just the fact that sin became apparent to us when we were lost, and we had a need to get forgiveness from God for that sin. And so we call upon Him through His Son Jesus in order to be saved. And that testimony that we have when that stony heart is taken out, the new heart of faith is put in, that's the way the Bible describes it in one way. In another way, it talks about the circumcision of the heart, the cutting away of the old heart and putting in the new. It talks about it in other ways. But there is a transition that takes place within a person's inner being, in their soul. That way they were lost, they were convicted, they were condemned. And when they trusted with all their heart in the Lord, repented of their sin, and the Lord forgave them, then there was peace that came there. There was joy that came there. Just like my brother Bert said, it's refreshed, it's renewed day by day, so that it doesn't seem like it was many, many years ago. Over 50 years ago for me, and over many years for some of you, more than that. But it's just as real today as it was then, because that the Spirit of God that dwells within our heart, that sealed our heart, that gave us peace within, is still there to let us know that all is well with our soul. I intended to sing a song this morning, and my voice don't feel like I can handle it, but it is well with my soul, because my soul has been made well. I've been made alive in Christ Jesus. That's another way the Bible puts it, that we travel from darkness to light, that we're dead in our sins and made alive in Christ Jesus unto a new life. We're raised to walk in newness of life, and so we have something different within us. Jesus said it's being born again. That's what he told Nicodemus that he needed. Nicodemus was a wise man of that day. He was on the Sanhedrin. He was a council member. He was a Pharisee of the strictest sect of belief, but he didn't know the Lord. And he came to find out more about Jesus, and Jesus just cut to the chase and told him, you must be born again. And of course they went through that conversation in the third chapter of John about how that could come about. And he talked about it being a spiritual birth that took place within the heart. And once that a person experiences that, they have a testimony of a travel from nature to grace, of a salvation experience that they can relate. And it's so important that they'll not forget it. That it'll be something that they can go back to. It'll be something that they can recollect even when their mind gets weak, because it's written on their heart as to what took place with them when they got saved, no matter what age it might have been, no matter what the condition. situation of their life might have been, no matter what the circumstance of their life was, that when the Lord speaks peace to a person's soul, there is an experiment that takes place there, and an experience of grace that takes place that is unforgettable. In the terms of psychology, it's called a flashbulb experience. And that's when you have different things in your life and something happened very dramatic and you just can't get it out of your mind. It's just there. But this is in the heart that there is such a great change, such a difference that takes place that it's unmistakable. Now, sometimes people will allow Satan to confuse their minds about what it took because they'll have an idea that it's supposed to be something else. And sometimes it takes them a while to figure that out as to what really happened. My mother was one in case that when she got saved, she had the opinion that a person shouted when they got saved. And she had seen people shout so many times, she'd heard people talk about shouting when they got saved, that she just in her mind thought she had to shout when she got saved. Well, she got saved and she didn't shout. And so she went for 4 years without telling anybody. People would come and ask her if she didn't need to go back to the altar, didn't need to seek the Lord. And she said, no, I don't feel like I need to. But she refused to admit that she had been saved until one day during a revival meeting, 4 years after she had gotten saved, that she felt a strong impression to unite with the church. And when they gave her an invitation, she just went up. And of course, they didn't know her testimony there. She hadn't told it. But then she started to tell about what happened to her 4 years before and about the experience that she had. And when she told it, she shouted. The shouting came, but it wasn't something she did much in her life. But still, it came at that time because she had a misconception. And Satan will take the true things and put them in an improper way of thinking so that it confuses people sometimes. But there is a time and place in life, if we have been saved, that we have an experience that we can go back to. I didn't mean to talk that much about that right there, but still, I guess it was needful. Last week, I told you about four different people who had a testimony given to them that made them come to Jesus. I'm not going to try to recount all those circumstances, but I want to mention them right quickly. Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus. He went to see him. Good, because he's a short time, but that's 6 more than 3. And Jesus saw him and told him, you know, come down. I'm going to abide with you. And if we took time to go back and read the scripture, we'd find the exact point of time where he got saved. And then all of a sudden he had a difference of opinion of what he's supposed to do and how he's supposed to live his life. And he admitted that to the Lord. And so he has a time and a place that he got saved. I talked about blind Bartimaeus that was on the side of the road. He was blind. He begged for food. He begged for alms and just to try to have some assistance of some sort. But he heard about Jesus. Somebody told him about him. And when Jesus came along and he heard that Jesus was coming by, he cried out, "Oh, son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus came to him and said, "What would you have me do?" He said, "I might see." He gave him his sight from a natural standpoint, but he also gave him spiritual sight because he was blind in his sin. The Lord spoke peace to him, so he has a time and a place that it happened to him. The man that was crippled and had palsy and he couldn't move for himself, and his friends took him and let him down through the roof of the house that Jesus was in. He had heard about him, but Jesus told him to take up his bed and go. Had to have 4 people to bring him in to start with, but he said, "You take up your bed and go." He healed him of his natural affliction, but he also said, "Thy faith has saved thee." He had an experience of grace. Now, I want to stop right here just a moment and think about, here's a man that had a tremendous physical disability. Zacchaeus had a tremendous physical disability, and Jesus healed him. You think they forgot about that? You think they forgot that they once were lame or once was blind and then was made to see? Just in the natural sense, we're not going to forget those things as long as we have our right mind. And how much more important it is when the soul of an individual is saved by God's grace with an assurance of going to heaven. Do you think you're going to forget that? It registers in the heart in a way that we can't even register it in the mind. We find that the woman with the issue of blood, here's another woman that had a physical ailment cured. but we know exactly when she got it. Oh, when she touched the hem of the garment of Jesus. And it wasn't because of his garments she was healed, but because of the faith that she had, how she could just get to him. And Jesus even said, I feel that virtue has gone out of me. In other words, there is something that had gone from Jesus to this woman, that there had become a relationship there. She had a time and place that she could tell about. I am going to tell somebody else about. And we can go on and on. There are numbers of instances in the Bible, and I'm going to mention two more of them just for some reference purposes. In John's account of the gospel again, in the first chapter, when Jesus was starting to assemble his disciples that would eventually become apostles, we find one of them was made mention of that in the 47th verse, and this is Nathanael. He had his brother come and bring him to Jesus. And in the 47th verse, when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down. And he, I'm reading the wrong chapter. I didn't turn back. I should go to the first chapter. It's still over in the fourth chapter. In the 47th, or 47th. Seventh verse, said Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. In other words, there's no sin in him. Now, he's not talking about the physical condition. He's talking about the heart. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Now, this is the first time he was seeing him face to face. You know, how do you know me that you can say that? And Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. And the reason for him being able to say that was before Philip even came and told him about this man Jesus that was coming through. And Philip went and told him, so we found the Messiah that we're looking for. But he said, before that Philip even came to you, you was under a tree there. And that's where I saw you. That's where I met you. And what he was just saying is that's where that you got saved and you came to know me. And that's why he said, then when he saw him with the physical eye and he recognized by the revelation of what Jesus said unto him, that I know that thou art the King of Israel. I know that thou art the Savior of the world. I know that you are the Redeemer. And so he had a time and place that was under a tree. Now, none of these people were given an age for. None of them were given a calendar date for. But they had a time and place in their life where they came in contact with Jesus. We find the Apostle Paul toward the end of his life writing in the first chapter the second epistle to Timothy. And he says in the seventh and ninth verses, he said, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he hath given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And then over the 12th verse, he says, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now, he talked about the God of heaven saving us through Jesus Christ, and he said, I know whom I have believed. It wasn't something that he was guessing, hoping about, but he says, I know him. I've got a relationship with him. I have something that tells me that I'm a child of God. The Apostle Paul's account of salvation is probably the most documented in the Bible. We find in the book of Acts three different occasions, in the 9th chapter, the 22nd chapter, and again in the 26th chapter, that he recalls what happened to him and when and where he got saved. We go back and we hear that Stephen had preached the gospel to him. I don't know, he may have heard it from somebody else, but we're told the account of Stephen preaching, and he consented to Stephen's death because he was a man of high degree and a Pharisee of the strictest sect, and he wanted to kill out these people that were following Jesus, but he didn't think that was right. And so he did all he could to harass them, to humiliate them, to put them in prison, and even to have them killed. And he was on his way to Damascus with a decree that he was to hunt out these people that was following Jesus and to persecute them. And on his way, we find that the message that had been preached to him, at least by Stephen, if not by others, had its effect because Jesus spoke from heaven to him. And there on the road to Damascus, he hit his knees and he was blinded just by the brightness of the light, even though that the others didn't see it. But it was in his heart that it was taking place. And there on the road to Damascus, he found peace with God. And he kept going back to that time and telling about that time when he was before kings and great men, telling about what Jesus did for him and how he renounced his old life and took up the cross and followed the Lord. And so he had a time and a place there on the road to Damascus at that point in time when he was going to persecute those who were being called Christians, or soon would be called Christians anyway. But he had a testimony to give, and he gave that. He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel," in the first chapter of Romans. And he said here, and this is, "I'm not ashamed of the testimony that I have for Christ, because I know him, and I have a relationship with him. He is real to me." That's the thing about it. Salvation is real. Most of the world don't realize that. I read a little article in the paper, in a local paper, this past week. I felt so sorry for the girl that she was telling the truth in it. She was, and she's a regular writer for this paper, and she talked about religion she had growing up. She never named what kind it was, or what it was in the Christian field, but she didn't name what it was. But that as she grew older, she grew away from it. And then she got to where she didn't think she needed anything like that. And she got married and she had children. And eventually she started having children ask her questions and things she couldn't answer. And I said, "Well, I need to get some of this religion stuff in me." And so she and her husband started going to one place and then another and another and another. And she said they'd tell her one thing, another place tell her something else. She was confused about it all. And then she finally got down and said at the end, she said, I finally found something that I feel comfortable with that will keep me from going to hell. And then she put a little dash and said, "I hope." If all you have is a hope that's not a living hope within your heart, you don't have anything. I'd love to be able to talk to this lady to talk to her about that thing, because I have hope that is a living hope. It's a living hope because it dwells within me. That's what the Holy Spirit does. When we're saved, our heart is cleansed and we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of redemption. We are given an assurity, a hope and a promise of life after this life, and a time when we can go and be with the Lord. A person that doesn't have a testimony of grace, a person that doesn't have a time and place when they know that they've changed from being dead in sin to being alive in Christ, if they have rituals, if they have baptism, if they have taken communion, if they have given to the church, if they have doing good work, those things will not accomplish salvation. Those are all things that are good to do after salvation, but they don't get salvation to anybody. And Jesus plainly tells us that in the 7th chapter of Matthew. He says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." What's the will of the Father? Is that people repent and have belief in Christ Jesus for the saving of their soul. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." He said, they'll be saying, "Well, look, we've done all these things for you. Don't that count for something?" And he said, "I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Iniquity is sin. He said, even what you're doing in the name of goodness and in my name, it's sinful because you don't know me. Jesus said that my sheep know my voice. He said, I am known of mine. There's a constant relationship there. Jesus knows us and we know him. But if you go before him in judgment without a testimony of a time and a place where God has spoke peace to your soul, he'll say, "Depart from me." If you don't have that in this life, you'll not have eternity with God in the afterlife. Your testimony is a recollection of the relationship that you have with Jesus when you got saved. And it continues on. Like Brother Bert said, it goes on. And it's just like it was yesterday. That's the thing about my salvation. I go back to, I was 13 years old, but I can go back to that time. And in my mind, from what the heart presents, I can still go through everything that was taking place there. Now, some people will forget details, and I'm sure I've forgotten some details. But I guess I just told enough that I just remember the details. And I've had people say, well, I don't believe in, or I just, they wonder, I guess, how much detail I can tell about what took place. But yeah, it's not the fringe details, it's what happened in your heart. That's the testimony that you have. And the power of your testimony will be how true that testimony is. And then how your life matches up with that testimony. Because if you, and I've seen this, you know, people that, excuse expression, live like the devil, and then you talk to them and say, oh yeah, I got saved when I was a boy, or I got saved when I was a girl, I got saved back so-and-so time. So, and they give you an experience of grace, but they hadn't lived like the Lord would have them to. That testimony won't have any effect on anybody until they get their lives straightened up. So that's the thing with the woman at the well. She was a promiscuous woman. She was a woman that was not thought of well in the community. But when she got saved, something changed about her. And so when she went into town and started telling people about what the Lord had done for her, they started seeing a different woman. They started seeing somebody that had changed. And so her testimony meant something. Now there were still others that thought, well, I don't know about this woman now, what she's doing here. But there was enough interest that they wanted to find out why she was acting the way she was, why she was talking the way she was, why she was doing the things she was. So they wanted to go see this man Jesus. Your testimony will have effect based upon the life that you live. If you're living for the Lord, people have a lot easier time believing what you have to say than if they see you living in an improper manner as far as the teachings of the Scripture are concerned. It's much like praying. When you pray every day and you ask God to forgive you for your sins and you ask Him to help you through the day's activities and in all aspects of our life, then we find it much easier to talk to God and get through. But when we get caught up in the world and we put prayer aside and we don't bother to talk to God, and then all of a sudden something comes up, then it's a lot harder to get in touch with the Lord. Because we've got to get our sin out of the way, our natural sin out of the way. And we've got to get ourselves kind of in shape to be able to talk to the Lord. Sometimes that can happen real quick if something real disastrous occurs. But still, our testimony will be received a great deal based upon how we live our life, you know, who is seeing us and seeing what we have to say. Your testimony is important for the cause of God. Preachers are called to preach the gospel and share the message, but everyone that's saved has a testimony to give, and that supports the message, that supports the gospel, that supports what we're saying, because if I can get up here and say that Jesus saves all those who repent and have faith in Him, and all those are words, even though the Holy Spirit might accompany them to people's hearts, but it's a lot easier for people to believe when they got somebody telling their story. Yeah, that happened to me when I was 7 years old, when I was 10 years old, when I was 14 years old, when I was 28 years old, when I was 40 years old. That happened to me, and I have a time and a place that it happened. It's real. And when people keep hearing those testimonies, it makes it much more difficult for them to say it's not real. But some still will. And that's unfortunate. But still, it's our job to tell. And if two of the three outcomes are good, either they get saved right away or they at least get curious enough to want more information to where they keep seeking until they get saved. And it's unfortunate some don't believe, but we got two good possibilities of what happens when our testimonies are given. Now, I've seen some people that get up and they will give testimonies in a church service. And this happens much in what we call modern churches, where they think they have salvation and their testimonies don't go back to time and place. Their testimonies is about what good things has happened to them in life and how they attribute that to being God. I've talked to many people that are church members and say that, I'm saved, and I ask them to tell them about that time and place. Tell me what happened to you. And I've even had some get upset with me because I would even question that they were a Christian. Question that they had been saved. When somebody asks me, it just makes me bubble up inside and I tell them about it. Because I've got something I want to tell about. I got something I want to share with them. I got something that is so important to me that it means eternity for me. And so if somebody asks me about my salvation experience, I can go right in and tell them about it. If you got it, it's something you want to tell about. Now, some people don't tell it as often as others. I understand that. But there are times when God will give you opportunity to tell your experience. And we shouldn't be ashamed of it. Because we know whom we have believed. Don't be ashamed of your testimony. Of what God done for. I think I've told this before here. I met a man up in Indianapolis when I was up there in some church services. And they said he was always ashamed to tell people about where he got saved. Because he felt a personal shame because it was in a beer joint that he got saved. But that's just even that much better that God will save people anywhere when they get their hearts in the right condition. And they ought to be thankful just to be able to tell that God saved me. There are people right here in this community that I've talked to, they got saved in jail. They're not proud that they were in jail, but they're thankful that God got hold of them while they were in jail and got saved. You know, just the fact that you get saved is wonderful to get saved in the church house, wonderful to get saved at home. It's wonderful to get saved anywhere. The thing about it is, even if you're in a sinful place or in a terrible place when you get saved, that's a condition of the human nature anyway, is that sin, and God saves you out of that to give you a new life, to give you a new direction, a new place to go. There's a song that Doug Oldham sung. It's written by Bill Gaither. He wrote it for Doug Oldham because Doug had gotten in one of those situations where he had gotten away from the Lord. And the song just says, at least in the first verse of it, says that he saw some of the buddies where he used to go. And they said, "Well, what happened to you?" And he said, "Well, I don't come here anymore because of Calvary. I don't come here anymore." See, it changes. Now, some people abuse that. Some people get into sinful living in their life and in things and doing things that God wouldn't want them to do. He'll either chastise them or he'll bring them down in some way or another. And I believe fully that many people have been taken out of life early because they refused to get in line with God's desires for their life. But the testimony that we have, if we really experience salvation, is real, and God will tell it and let people know about it. And I appreciate so many of you have told your testimony here, whether it was when we taped those testimonies for my salvation experience or just in church services. And the thing about it is, you know, I hear people get up and say, "Well, y'all probably don't want to hear this again, but I want to tell you about when I got saved." You know, it's always a thrill for me to hear about when people get saved. Because sometimes they might tell it in a little different way or say it something a little different that'll just strike my heart and just bless me in a way that they hadn't done before. And then again, there may be somebody hearing for the first time. It's just like preaching the gospel. Sometimes I think and I hear preachers say, "Well, this is familiar to everybody." It's not familiar to everybody. Somebody's hearing it for the first time. And so we tell the story over and over and over. It strengthens us to hear it again. And it really blesses us to hear it the first time. Now, I remember so many first times as I studied the scripture after I called a preach, and I found something, "Oh, wow, didn't know that." And even though I'd heard it before, And I've heard people preach about it or people testify about it. But then all of a sudden I read it in the scriptures and there it is. And all of a sudden it means something to me that it hadn't meant before. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing to me to hear your testimonies. And it's a help to somebody to share your testimony. If you have a testimony, don't be ashamed of it. If you don't have a testimony, you ought to be ashamed. Because you've been given opportunity. If the Lord deals with your heart, draws you to Him, you need to trust Him. Don't get caught up in holding on to old things into ways that may seem right, and the Bible says that the way it seems right, man, but the ends thereof is a way of destruction. But just because it's no way, if you don't have a testimony, your way's not going to work. Because these folks that I read to you in Matthew, they would say, haven't we done all these wonderful things in your name? They weren't good enough because they didn't have a testimony of a meeting with Jesus. If you're unsaved, you need to meet Jesus and have a testimony of that experience of grace, which is the best thing that can happen to you in life. Roberta's have a song, an invitation given. It's a good place to come. There's no words in this piece, but it's a good place to come and to call upon the Lord and for us to pray with you on your behalf. All that is going to be your prayer of repentance and your trusting in the Lord that will save your soul. And once that occurs, you'll have the knowledge. You'll have the relationship. You'll have an experience to tell. It's not somebody else's experience. It's your experience. It's something that is real in your heart. If you don't have that real experience in your heart, if you're just relying on the things of this world or the things that somebody's told you or the things that, and there's a lot of religious beliefs out there that will tell you one thing or another, and they have good reason to think that it's good, but if it doesn't go to the heart, if it doesn't cause conviction, if it doesn't cause you to seek the Lord, if it doesn't cause you to trust in Him for your soul's salvation, and you have that knowledge that your sin has been taken away and peace has been brought there, then you're lacking, and it won't count when you go before Him in eternity. So make it sure today. One more song I'll reference, Governor Jimmy Davis, former governor of Louisiana. He's passed away now, but almost two-term governor there. He's in both country music and gospel music hall of fame as a songwriter. And was a good singer. But one of the songs that he wrote has been used quite a bit lately. Even though I wrote it a number of years ago. It says, "I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know." He's talking about his salvation. See, you're the only one that knows it when it happens. You and Jesus. Then you can tell with your testimony what the Lord has done for you. Let's stand and sing. If you're here and unsaved, would you consider your heart's condition and your need for salvation? And don't be ashamed to come and seek the Lord. Every one of us had to do it at some point, sometime.
Number 299, sing the first and last verse. Down at the cross where my Savior died.
Glory to His name.
Faith and order. We invite you to come by experience, relating your experience to grace, and being baptized by the authority of the church. From a sister church of Life, Faith, and Order, we can receive you by letter, a creditor's letter. Upon your reception of that letter, we can approve you. And all the letter is just a recommendation of your faithfulness to the former church and of your not having any particular reason for the church to have anything against you because of your action or lying. And in my restoration, those who might have been excluded for all this, it can be restored. By these means that we receive members, or any of the means that we receive members, if the Lord moves your heart, we ask you to come to the front and we'll hear what you have to say.
Let's turn to page number 151 and sing the first and last verse. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow.
started going to the altar, and I went that first year. I went back the next year and the next. Started into that week, I started going to the altar. And I just couldn't get anywhere. So on a Wednesday night, that night, I don't remember going to the altar, but I know I did. I guess about midnight, about 12 o'clock, I was at the floor. Something happened to me. I didn't know what it was until the next night. I went back to the altar the next night because a lady came and asked me if I wanted to go to the altar. And I said, I don't feel like I need to. And she said, well, why don't you go pray about it anyway? So I went to the altar, and I got there, and I was on the bench, like, kind of like where Don says it was in that position. And I believe I must have gotten on another bench and then in the floor. And I just went so far that I didn't try to offer the Lord anything. I just gave it up. Bless. But that was the other night. I'm sorry I got that confused. The second night I went, there was no burden. I stayed up there a little bit, tried to pray, and I just didn't have anything to pray for. So I got up and told that I didn't say anything. But I know it is kind of confusing sometimes about what really happens, because I thought I would shout too, and I didn't. But it was just peace. Wonderful peace. Dear God, bless you. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
That's what salvation is. By definition, it's peace with God. Word of sins, take quiet peace and good. Anyone else?
Brother Mayor, I'd like to say I appreciate your message. Just this Wednesday, it's been Wednesdays with my mother. Mom was doing a lot of reminiscing. Getting a little tired, won't go to hell. She got telling me. She was a little girl that a lady in the community took interest in her and took her to church. Her grandparents didn't take her. She went to church with this lady, and she was saved in the Old Methodist Church in West Tennessee. She told me, said, later on in life, she said, they were swimming with my grandfather. Said he told her, said, June, said, I need to pray, but I don't know how to pray. Said she told him, said, Daddy, said, she just talked to God like you talked to me. You got to talk to me. She said that following Sunday, my granddaddy went to a little Baptist church there close to their house. She went to the list of the church on the third floor. My grandfather went to that little Baptist church. When she got home, my grandfather told us that I got saved at that little Baptist church. I never heard that until this Wednesday. That was a blessing. This old grandson of yours. I knew he was a good man. And in my life, I remember him going to church. With those overalls on, and he wore a special white shirt and dressed up and went to church. That's the memories I have of my grandfather. But it was good to hear that testimony from my mother.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful to hear. One of my father's brothers, older than him, had, I guess, it was about 6 weeks of the passing away. Dad said he'd never heard him tell him to be saved. So he went to talk to him.
had related when he got saved with the Methodist Church. Old time, we used to go there and they practiced the night we did as far as altars and churn. And he said, usually when they give altar call, all the boys will get out of the building. He said, for some reason or other, that day he just couldn't leave. And he saw his mother get off, she always sat next to the front seat. She got up and started back. And he saw this brother of his that was sitting about two seats in front of him. He said, she'll come and talk to him. He said, walk right. Or she walked right by him and came to my dad and asked him about his soul. He went to altar and got saved that day. He told his brother, he said, anything like that ever happened to you? And he said, yeah, happened the week before it happened to you. That's why she bypassed him, but he didn't say, had he run out and wasn't there when he got saved, and they had never talked about it, discussed it. So just a short time before he passed away, he found out. And so, as far as I know, all of their 12 in that family, and all of them got saved, so one was died in infancy, but had a year off by the Lord anyway. But it's always good to hear people's testimonies. And good to hear young families' testimonies. I got family out there for tell about when they got saved. And I always long to hear that. Anyone else?
For the matter, the Lord wants me to give my testimonies. As most of you know, I met Billy when I was 15. Shortly after I met him, he told me about his Lord and his salvation. Somewhere around the age of 17, I became lost. Right over there, about maybe in the city, and I heard some wonderful people at this church hear their testimony, and I realized I wanted what they had. On Saturday morning, about 9 o'clock in the morning, I always said I was 22, but recently Shannon and I did the math, and I realized I was actually 21. It doesn't really matter what age it was. I know when I got it. So I was laying outside my backyard, laying out in the sun. be able to get on your knees and say, Lord, I need your help today. I need you. So I thank him for that. And I'm just glad to be here enjoying your message. I love y'all. I love this church. I love this church. Pray back. These people, these church mean everything to me. I love each and every one of them. They're so special. And each person here has added to who I am today. For every time they stood up and said anything and did anything, they are continuing to teach us all. And I just thank you for your message today. I was here. I thank the Lord for his mercy and grace on my life.
He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. It goes on. Three minutes. Anyone else? That's why testimony is being held. One has effect on somebody and they get saved and have a testimony to them. Keeps going on. Appreciate you being here. Thank the Lord that he's been here with us. And I can encourage those who might not be saved to find some place to talk to the Lord. It might be under a tree like a thing, or it might be on the road like Paul. It can be anywhere that your heart feels a need. So, Lord, all hearts and minds clear will be dismissed. If you haven't seen the bulletin, there's a picture on the front, and I just said, photos don't lie, that's what they told me. Somebody might question him. Would Sam move this? Brother, let me pray this, Mr.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this Lord today. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the message of truth and the word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for each one that's come out this way today. Thank you for each visitor. Here. We just pray, Heavenly Father, that you just might continue to bless us here at this place. And if there's anyone here today, Lord, that's lost, that doesn't have experience of salvation, Lord, we just pray that this message might go into their hearts, Heavenly Father, and they would seek the soul's salvation before we are blessed and too late, because it's the most important thing.